But like you went up the back of their tent, and it, on the third story there was a strip club that like
I think I remember that kind of.
Not only was it like fucking hot as hell in there, the whole place was so sweaty that there were bills sticking everywhere.
Oh my
it was
God,
like
that's hilarious.
It was the trappiest fucking thing ever.
Sounds
but,
like a DJ Breadwinner set.
Minus a few hot dog buns.
All right, High Rise Podcast, always pushing. Welcome back, guys, to another episode. Today we have our buddy John Capetta, works at High Times. What did the for
VP of
content? Okay, I wasn't sure the exact title.
It's all good.
I was gonna ask earlier, but yeah, this is our buddy John. He works at High Times. He comes to all of our events. He's the man that helped make this cover happen, and he's always popping up at the house. We always just have amazing conversations. Like, pretty much every event we have, John, we just have a fucking podcast with John. So we're like, let's get him on to just chop it up about all sorts of random shit. So
it kind of does. It's like there have been like mini podcasts on just like whatever's topical at that moment.
There's also, only like, good.
I got to say, I do really love that the cover is back here and there's like some branding worked out.
In the background, canvases blown up.
John is the one that kind of helped facilitate this stuff. And if you guys listen to the first episode, we're talking about the story behind the cover. It's talking about John coming through and we're looking at the mag and he's like, yo, fucking send me photos. Next thing you know, next issue, we have the cover of High Times thanks to John. So,
well, you're also downplaying your involvement in that a little bit. My guys kind of were like, yo, we're doing a science issue. You got anything science themed? And like, you went and got a science picture done, you know?
I was like, anything that needs to be done. I got this opportunity to shoot a cover. Like, fucking don't pay me, whatever. Like, let me just take this opportunity and run with it. So yeah, anything that needed to be done, I was going to do it, you know? Fucking High Times cover. As a photographer, like we said, like in cannabis so far, this is, you know, pinnacle for cannabis photography. As this industry evolves, there will be like new things, but I mean, I can't really think of anything else that kind of like tops that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty,
you know,
it's the top of it.
So it's one of those things that like, and I was actually just having this conversation with someone today, like it's cool seeing your work online. I've written tons of shit that runs online or whatever, but when you can hold it in your hand and like it actually has weight to it, and obviously like this, like when it's blown up like this, it's way cooler, you know what I mean? But still, like even just like holding the physical and like seeing like, wow, like I did this, you know what I mean? Like there's something you
that's so lost too, right? Like 100%. It's so lost now with the digital world. Like you don't get print coming from as a skateboarder. I was like in the last 411 DVD. I was in the last this. I was the last cover of the or issue of this or whatever. And it's just, you know, like moving into the digital age. It's like, I don't know if a lot of kids will get the opportunity. You know, a lot of creatives get the opportunity to have something in print. So that could segue us into something that we always talk to John about in terms of non-tangible items. We're always talking to John about NFTs. Like every time John comes over, he's just spitting mad knowledge of NFTs. And that's something that like, I don't know, maybe you guys could talk about because I've never purchased one, but you guys are both in
that
world.
I want to be clear. I am by no means calling them good investment opportunity. I have definitely bought my fair share, but sometimes I feel like I'm goaded into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of times it's also the reason why it's so interesting to me is like anything that pays creators and like, so we were talking about just 2 seconds ago about like having like physical tangibles of your work. Like you remember, like you said, DVDs, that used to be a communal experience, right? And like people, like you would go and you'd all get together, whoever had the DVD, everyone would watch it together. Right.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening with NFTs is the digital world kind of separated us all, right? Like the same DVD will come out now, just come out on YouTube and we'll all watch it alone. Whereas like what NFTs are doing is creating these communities that people can buy into and like kind of create an identity for themselves. Right. Like look at the Bored Apes, like the obviously CryptoPunks are, you know, probably the pinnacle for value in this space, but what Bored Apes have done is really just like create a cool kids club and be like, yo, if you buy this picture, like you're in. And not to mention the picture's worth six figures and, you know, Jay-Z has one.
So did one really sell yesterday or the other day for like 500 million or is that fake?
So, okay, and this is part of what I'm talking about, right? Like as an investor, there's a lot of snake oil out there.
Yeah.
So that $500 million sale, that was a stunt.
Some finesse shit.
If you
go marketing shit.
The beautiful thing about NFTs, and so the reason, and I'll talk about this in a second, but everything is written down. There's a history of everything, right? So you can see the history of that one that sold, and it was transferred right before the sale.
It's all recorded. You can see who it's going to, how much, when, where, yeah, everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was transferred from one wallet to another, and then the first wallet paid whatever for it, and then after the whole thing happened, it was transferred back into the original wallet. Right. So, again, just a stunt, but I'm sure you saw fucking everywhere, $500 million yep. Bored Ape or CryptoPunk, whatever it was. Was fucking everywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? And to me, that's one of the pump and dump warning signs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like when Dogecoin was happening and Elon was going on SNL to talk about it, or make jokes about it, not even talk about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's, they call it top signs, but I think the future of what the smart contracts, what NFTs are based off of, what we're seeing now is to me, the Betamax version. It's a new technology. This is the first implementation of it. Some kids made a ton of money, so a lot more are trying to make their money.
Now there's
too.
All this interest, yeah.
Exactly. But it's the same thing as crypto, right? Most of the kids who are really cashing in, they were pretty well off before. You know what I mean? So again, not saying that you should go out and necessarily invest in NFTs, but I believe that eventually Nike will be selling their sneakers this way, because anything that has downstream monetization potential, it only makes sense that there should be a royalty for the original owner. We do that with music, right? Mm-hmm. Think about radio play, right? And we have those royalties. Why shouldn't Nike collect if you sell a pair of Jordans for $500?
So this is what I've been thinking since our boy Zucks dropped the metaverse is, because I don't know shit about it. I've just seen memes and stuff. And also, I don't know shit about NFTs, but is this a world where you're going to be able to buy skin type shit? You can totally buy stuff for NFTs and then whatever. It's an outfit or it's a fucking, you're going to buy a basketball court and people can come play on your basketball court in the metaverse. I fucking don't know.
So, okay, two things. First of all, I'm officially campaigning that we rename the metaverse because fuck Facebook and trying to just come in and be it's saying our new brand name is social media. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No, that's a sector. You know what I mean? Are somebody going to come out and be the cannabis industry? You know what I mean? It's just not, it doesn't make sense. But the thing about, I think that they are missing about the bigger thing, and honestly, probably the biggest opportunity for them, is that all of this stuff is kind of happening in silos right now. So it will eventually be one metaverse will kind of rule them all. But right now what's happening is there's Sandbox and there's Decentraland and there's all of these separate ones that are selling land and people are building in stuff like that. And I mean, tons of brands have invested huge money into buying land. And Atari has a huge plot of land, I think, in Sandbox and stuff like that, to create the next gen of these things.
So it's the meta world or whatever the fuck you call it. It's is it almost, it's the internet where it's there's nobody owns it, but it's all these people contributing
So yes, but think about it their Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and everyone's building shit for these different platforms.
Mixed with Farmville or what?
Right? Farmville is the app inside. So imagine okay, we're talking about, let's say, Sandbox, and then you can go to all of these different worlds within Sandbox. That's where the Atari world is. I think fucking Gordon Ramsay made a restaurant there. But actually, and so I don't know which one this is in, but I know there's a guy who bought so much land that he built a casino. And gambling digitally to me just seems batshit, right? I wouldn't really do video poker, let alone something that's totally manipulatable. You know what I mean? But he's seeing on average around 2,000 people a day, and they're spending about $500 a piece. That's real money.
That's in
one
of the worlds.
Exactly. So what Facebook is betting on is that they can create the social metaverse where you can we each create a planet. And do you guys remember Second Life?
Sounds familiar. No.
Or how about World of Warcraft? World of Warcraft is probably an easier way to explain it. A massive multiplayer online role-playing game. That's essentially what the shit is. It's like Minecraft, right? Minecraft is a good example of what the metaverses are. Kids are already creating their own universes in this bigger landscape, but they have their individual servers where they're operating in, right? This is essentially saying, okay, what if we have... zooming out a little bit more. Did you see Ready Player One?
No. Also sounds familiar, though.
Okay, so in Ready Player One...
I'm familiar with it. I don't think I saw it's a book, right?
And then
it
turned into... anything about video games.
Yeah, we're definitely fucking skateboarders, and we're not computers.
Okay, so
except for when Aaron was grounded, and that's how he has the ability to build high rise.
Well, there you go. I mean, hey, that worked out. But so Ready Player One is a movie, and there's a game that these guys play, but they all kind of go into this digital game to play it. And it's the premise of the movie is kind of like the real world has gone to shit. And like, this is like, you know, the bright, new, amazing future because we can't get off the earth. Right. And so the interesting thing, and the reason why I think that like that's a good thing for people to watch, understand, and actually shout out to Joey Colombo, because he's the one that like kind of originally made this connection for me, is in the movie they explain like there's one of the characters is like building like an iron giant that she then goes and sells to somebody else. All of those things are needed for all of these worlds, right? There are going to be all these builders. There's going to be all of these micro economies of like digital designers and 3D map. I mean, think about like right now, like, you know, if you want to make a toy, you know, you need a 3D model. Someone does that. But like, this is going to be a whole industry inside of the metaverse. Now, Facebook is going to metaverse is a huge sign that,
yeah, I was just
gonna
say
this, like, is happening.
Yeah,
like it's not going to be a fad, it's going to be the reality.
Right.
That said, do I think that like most people who are buying in right now, like the whole crypto idea, decentralization of like redividing the wealth amongst people, right? And like anybody should be able to make it, right? I don't think that giving the keys to that kingdom to our already ruling overlords makes sense to any of those people. But, you know, who knows? Like, that's, again, listen, honestly, they own Metaverse now, right? So, like, maybe they're going to just shut down everybody that tries. I don't know exactly what the mechanics of where it's going to happen, but they have more money than God has clouds. Yeah. So, like, they're going to do some really cool shit. And, like, the other thing is, thing to keep in mind is like it's introductions for a lot of these people, right? Like if you think about QR codes were around forever and nobody really gave a shit until Apple made it that you can use it on your phone. You know what I mean? Now all of a sudden there's QR code everywhere.
That was like a legit 15 years, 20 years that it's been around and people are like, what the fuck is this? And now you're seeing brands put it on stuff.
It's the same thing with AR technology. That shit's been around. Like, so I graduated college a decade ago. When I was in college, I had an app called Aurisma. And that was like, you could take you'd open the app, take like a $20 bill into your viewfinder. And when it saw like the vector map of the $20 bill, it would cue an animation and it would make something come up, right? So like, that's like very rudimentary AR. Once Apple allows that into their camera, or Google allows that into their camera, and like people, like developers can add that map in, all of a sudden we're going to see this huge spur in AR. Right now, virtual reality has just been so expensive for people to build in, right? So like brands, they can invest, but like you have to invest a shit ton in order to get like not really a clear return right now. Once people spend more and more time in these things, brands and all these eyeballs are going to be spending more, and there's going to be more interesting and worthwhile things to do. But like, to get back to NFTs and like the what people are creating right now, like all of this identity that kids are buying into right now, like these are like the original digital antiques, right? Like the reason CryptoPunks are they can do a stunt that sells it for $500 million and people believe it is because this was the first 10K project NFT. You know what I mean? But forever they gave CryptoPunks away. That people are holding, like the one guy was holding 1,000 of them. You know what I mean? Holy so shit. Like that for the longest time, they couldn't, you know, people didn't want them. And now, I mean, the other thing to keep in mind is obviously Ethereum's going up. You know what I mean? So that's got everyone really excited on these things. I'm sure if that shit crashes, everyone will kind of be like, you know, oh, fuck this stuff again. Just like, I don't know, were you in crypto in 2017 when the last pop happened?
Just, it's probably when we started getting into
right
it.
Right when I started, right around there.
Yeah.
So
like,
I...
Was it 450? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I got in then, and then I didn't get out, like, in the pop, and everything dropped. And so I was kind of like, well, fuck. You know what I mean? I'm kind of whatever. But I'm not going to sell it because maybe one day it'll pop.
Oh, we did get in, but we forgot. That's when we got Doge, and that's when we got... Yeah. That's when I have, like, $50 in Doge fucking back then, you know?
Yeah,
turned into, like, whatever, $4,000.
$4,000 or $5,000 or some shit.
I mean, listen, I bought 10 Ethereum when they were $150 each. So, like, my $1,500 is now, like, $45,000.
So crazy.
So far in the green that when NFTs started popping, I was like, well, let me take some of these coins and like move them over there. And like, I mean, listen, I've definitely found some projects that are like random and like, you know, are I minted them for free and they're now worth one Ethereum, you know? So like there's some wins to be had there, but it's 100% gambling. But the thing, sorry, to loop back to NFTs in the metaverse, I think what's happening with like Bored Apes and all of these guys, the evolution of that is going to be avatars. It's going to be membership clubs and stuff like that. Like I think the mechanic, like the real mechanics that are yet to be unlocked for NFTs is really that fan club token. You know what I mean? Like, okay, buy my NFT.
It's like the Gary Vee shit.
It's like the Gary Vee shit.
Buy the lion and you get to have lunch with me once a year or whatever the fuck. Or yes. Private membership club or whatever.
Yeah, and you get access to VCon. The second part of that, the access to VCon, is really what I think is going to become more common, right? Because then it's like, oh, you want the hype drop? You want to get it? Like, I don't know if you guys know Shoozy. It's like, this is like one of my favorite new art toys. He makes little like Uzis that look like different sneakers. Fucking amazing. They sell out so quickly. But imagine now if he sold like a bunch, like 100 coins that, okay, you want one? He sells 500 every time. I'm going to have 100 fan club coins where if you own one of these, you have a guaranteed spot to buy one of my toys, right? Now, as he gets more and more popular, all of a sudden people want these coins more and more. Like you're providing a value to people that could eventually sell and get out, you know? This guy's the fucking limit. But like also the metaverse is like, okay, well, we can do all of that on your computer and you don't need to, you know, ever leave the house or go to a real world event or go to a store to buy anything, right? So like, you know, everything's about to fucking change.
Yeah, you can either choose to live in the metaverse or go to Mars with Elon. That's the future, right? That's like there's all these different like paths for the future that people are planning. We don't know the fuck's gonna take off, but it's like we're gonna have all these options. And it's like the way that we are now with social media and communities and everything, it's like it's awesome because there's the ability to bring everybody together into little communities, but it separates everybody. So in the future it's gonna be like you're in the metaverse, you're going to fucking Mars. It's gonna be like different types of humans or some shit like that. You
that's
know what I
mean about the identity and people like leaning into it now because we're already so disconnected that like it's like once you graduated college or got out of high school or whatever, like besides work, like there's not and parties, there's not like a tremendous amount of places to just meet people, right? So like for these kids that got like disassociated from everyone else and been living on their computer and whatever, now all of a sudden they have a team that they're on again. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden all these new friends and all these new people to talk to, like, so people buy into that hard.
It's like, just community in general. That's like us. Like we've created this community here and we have so many people that are part of this cannabis community that like were maybe outcasts or black sheep in high school or whatever. And now everybody comes here and everybody feels comfortable and they feel like they belong to something. And that's all anything is just everybody out there. We all fucking want to just be part of something, you know? And like, whether it's your club, you're like into NFTs and you're into the fucking Shoozies or you're into like the the dudes with the masks, gangster dudes, whatever you do have. I don't know.
Oh, you got G-Balls?
Yeah. Bro, that was my first one. That was just like, I didn't even know anything. I was just like cruising, trying to just like learn shit. And I was like, I just bought it because I liked it, honestly.
His work is
it, like,
so
seemed
dope.
Like it was hyped and it like, I thought it was dope. And I was like, cool, whatever. Like,
you know, it went up like three ETHs in one night. Yeah, it went from like one ETH fat, to like fucking overnight. 12 grand.
And then it went down a little bit and now it's just kind of been chilling. But
so yeah,
what's the other one I got? Dirty Bird.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
I got gifted a Dirty Bird, so I got two NFTs right now.
Hell yeah. I mean, listen, what I would say is, like, so many people do, like, airdrops and stuff like that, like, it's so easy to set up a MetaMask. Just make one.
Yeah.
And, like, worst case scenario, somebody, like, honestly, the way I got into it was my buddy was making a bunch, and he was like, yo, set up a wallet, I'll send you some shit. You know what I mean? And, like, I will say gas was very cheap back then, so it was like, you know, you could afford to send it around to everybody. I minted somebody's thing for free the other day and it cost me $400.
Yeah.
It's like, how am I spending $400 for something that's free?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
But at the same time, like, it was my homie. I wanted to support him, you know, whatever. And so here we are. Yeah. I'm just pissed that I didn't give him the $400, that it went to some fucking internet god.
You know, right? Like,
the blockchain. Has my money now. Yeah.
So let's break open this pixie stick and see what happens.
This guy? Pixie
so
stick.
I actually, this might be a little bit more of a pain in the ass to open, I think.
But these things are amazing, guys. So pixie sticks, it's a pre-rolled joint, and instead of using a paper, it's straight hash. It's water hash. It's like ice water hash. It's super, I don't know. It looks great. We've rolled some hash joints where we use like a fat slab of hash to wrap it, and it's just kind of a shit show, and it falls apart, and it doesn't work, and then everybody's always tagging pixie sticks. I'm like, yeah, I know. We haven't gotten our hands on one yet. So we're really excited to check this shit out.
Well, he uses real wax to seal them too, which is dope. Don't get me wrong, but it's also just like much harder to open. But
the experience is
so worth it.
You're
going to be stoked.
So we see these things. I've been following these dudes for a while on IG. It's pixie underscore @sticks_official, but I think it got deleted. He has a merch page up. I was trying to find it earlier. But these things are insane. They like, when he had his page, he would show the ash, and when it burns, it's the whitest ash you've ever seen. And it's like, if you want to play the ash game, you could literally have this whole thing ash. Like, it'll be like a
pain in the ass it is to make those.
Bro, he actually, so he makes these little things where when it, they don't always work out. And so just so you can.
Damn, thing's crazy.
Check it out beforehand. Dude. Like sometimes it falls apart in his process or whatever. So he makes like these little.
The little bong rip ones or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fucking crazy. It's like perfect.
Dude, it's insane. I've been seeing these things for like at least a year and I'm like super excited to.
There are a bunch of legal ones coming to market. And what I will say is they just don't hit as good. I'm not going to, I don't want to call out any brands, don't want to talk any shit, but like there's the traditional market has always maintained its grip.
It's kind of a thing. Yeah. This is nuts, man. That's going to murder all three of us.
It's got YS11 flower in it and RPC hash. I don't know what RPC is, but we're going to smoke it anyway.
All right. Well, we'll see where this conversation goes once we smoke this, because this thing's going to be heavy. But that's rad. Did you pick that up north?
Mm-hmm.
So what did we just have? We just had Halloween. So we just had a Halloween party that was one of our biggest parties of the year. Probably our biggest party of the year so far.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest one of this year for sure.
It was like 250 people in the house. Wild and Aaron did a little DJ set for 20 minutes.
My second breadwinner performance.
It was probably, it was definitely the most turnt the living room has been in the year and a half that we've been here.
Yeah. I'm very bummed I keep missing the breadwinner set because I see the pictures and it looks so lit.
It's so ridiculous. People were like, dude, that was a really good, coming up to me like, dude, he killed it. It was a really good set. I'm like, did you see him push any buttons? Like, he didn't push a single button besides the.
Yeah, but he has the time of his life.
Yeah.
I got the technique.
Dude, it's so funny. Shout out to DJ Boney for holding it down.
My secret weapon.
How was the Halloween party? It looked pretty crazy.
Somehow went off without a hitch. Like, we were stressing, dude. We had like 800 or 900 people on the guest list, cut that down to like 250. We're just getting blown up all day. Like, I literally like hot ass, like model, like 100,000 model bitches. Like, can I pay to bring my friends? Or like, what the fuck? Like, this is insane. Like, all day getting blown up. We're like, we're getting shut down by fucking midnight. Like, this is going to be a shit show. Like, we're just expecting it to just be a shit show, you know? And
I mean, if somebody dude, wants it worked to pay out for tickets.
Perfect. No, I know. It was just like so funny. I'm like, I never thought I'd get that message. Like,
dude, yeah, people.
You know what I mean, it's like, what? Yeah,
yeah. People had blue wristbands, which were like you could stay all night.
We tried a new system, a new tiered system, and it just fucking made everybody pissed off at us.
It's so funny.
Of course.
I was like, people were leaving with the blue wristband like early. I was like, yo, you could probably sell those outside.
Let me show you. Makes people see a free face.
That's so funny.
You gotta see your DJ face, you know. Right? Make sure they recognize.
Dude, yeah, I don't know. It nuts. Actually went off pretty good, so we're stoked. That's gonna be our last big one for a while. We're gonna kind of like take it easy for a couple months and regroup our brain cells. And
I mean, it seems like you guys are quite busy on the content side. So
exactly,
it's insane, dude.
I can only imagine
so much going on.
People forget for that we
Josh.
Work.
I know. Josh likes to get his sleep, so I can only imagine what being up all of these fucking for all these parties are.
Dude,
yeah, there's been a little of that lately.
Yeah, people forget that we actually work. They think that we just like have a house to like host parties. I'm like, no, we're actually like shooting for all the big brands here when we're not partying.
Yep.
Like, pretty funny. Josh, you want to hit this? You definitely want to hit this shit, dude.
That thing fucking smacks.
Look at that thing. Yeah.
The pixie stick.
I've been waiting for that thing for a while.
For real.
Is that the first time you smoke one of them?
No, I actually, the first time I smoked one of them, I was here and I meant to smoke it with you. And then I think you like walked away to like bring someone in or something. And by the time you got back, the whole thing got smoked on your balcony.
Oh yeah. Sounds about right.
But you know, it's, we got more. Yeah. We got more. It's
part so of like, it. You're in the same boat as us where you're just getting free shit like all the fucking time. I can imagine. I always see you posting just like all the free shit.
I get pretty good.
I can only imagine. Like, what's some of the craziest, like weirdest shit you've gotten?
I mean, I think the thing that I got most excited about was probably a volcano. Look at this.
Volcanoes are dope. I haven't had one of those in a minute.
Got the ash game. Look how white that dude looks. Dude, volcanoes are nice every now and again, dude.
So the volcano is just like, to me, like I didn't have money ever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like when I remember like being like growing up and like looking at a volcano and being like, people spend $500 on this. You know what I mean? Like, this is real. People spend this kind of money. And like, also I think the same kind of thing about like really expensive bongs and stuff like that, you know, but like, whatever. So the fact that like now the company sends one to me is like still trips me up all the time. But, honestly, like things like this, like the Pixie stick, these are probably the coolest products because like, It's not the obvious stuff, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I love, people give me tons of flower, and I love flower. And like, I will say, don't need all your merch, but
no more lanyards. No more lanyards. I'm gonna hang myself with lanyards.
I did a thing, and actually, you guys want a quick engagement hack? I did a giveaway that was like really just a way to like clean out my house of like all of these like sweaters and stuff like that I didn't need. And people went ape shit for it. Like, I had, like, way more response. I forget how much people love free shit, you know?
Well, dude, literally, you were sending, like, full bags worth of shit.
So I did it. My initial plan was I'm going to do it on my close friends and see, like, how people respond. You know what I mean? Because, like, again, to me, like, it's cool enough that I kept it. You know what I mean? And, like, my... All right, this is going to sound, like, really disrespectful. I feel bad. Like, I don't want to waste anything somebody gives me, right? Like, so, like, if somebody sends me something, even if it's trash, I don't want to throw it in the trash. You know what I mean? But it's also, like, a weird line to walk to give someone else your trash. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, in my head, I've also kind of, like associated all of these things, like, things I don't need anymore. Yeah. And I just, like, assumed that, like, I'd put it out there, maybe, like, you know, 5 or 6 people would respond, say, yeah, give me a sweatshirt, whatever. And, like... Everyone in the thing was like, yeah, like, do you have any hoodies? You got any, like, whatever? Like, somebody hit me up asking for 3XL. I was like, bro, they sent this stuff for me. You know what I mean? Like, no offense, but, like, I'm just not a 3XL. And, like, I don't know if they even make promo shit in, like, 3XL. You know what I mean? I was like, but I'll send you some grinders and fucking, like, you know, rolling trays and shit.
They start placing custom orders with you and shit.
So, the funniest one I got was somebody asked me for art stuff. And I had, like... You guys ever get the drops from Canna or Canna, however they call it?
Edibles?
I know they just did a post about, it's Canna, isn't it? They did a post about like people who say Canna, a red flag, you know.
Oh, yeah, so, like a little emoji.
Sorry,
thing.
Guys. But they sent me this thing one time that was like a little tiger, like their logo, and like a paint set. So like I had the perfect thing to give that kid. I was like, oh, okay, you want some art supplies? Perfect.
No problem.
Here you go.
What are some of the things that you use like on a daily basis? Like, what do you got? You got, like, a dab right or just some random shit that you're, like,
so
you fuck with.
I'm a flower guy. So, like, I'm always rolling joints. And, like, this is kind of sacrilegious because I know, you know, everyone loves, like, the cleanest, thinnest paper or whatever. I still smoke big bamboos.
Yeah, you got the orange, huh? Orange zigzags. Every time I smoke a joint with John, it's always the OGs.
It's, yeah, well, like, so, okay. I will say, actually, we're going to talk about East Coast. The hardest thing for me to wrap my head around when I got out here is backwoods, bro. Backwoods are so thick, they look so sloppy every time, even if you roll it well. Like, I'm a Dutch master smoker.
Dutch masters.
Our blunts were always clean. You know what I mean? Like, it was
like a stick. It looks like a fucking
it's
stick.
It's polished off at the end. You know what I mean? So, like, that was, like, a hard to get my head around. But
that was also, like, only in the past 10 years or less. No, but Woods is literally, like, the past, like...
Shit, Woods is Swishers when I was coming, like, growing up.
It's been since we've been doing High Rise.
Swishers, you know?
It's been since, like, the Orange Office. Yeah. It's been, like, 6 years that people have been... It's only because the rap songs of the Woods. Like, before that, it was Swishers, Optimos. You couldn't really find Dutches out here.
I think it's honestly all of the... And, like, Packwoods is obviously probably the most notable. But all of, like, the Bear Woods... You know, whatever woods, that's kind of the thing that I started seeing more, I think. Because, like, again, like, I also, when I first got out here, wasn't hanging out with people who were smoking backwoods. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, most people who I were hanging out with, like, I was the one smoking. You know what I mean? Like, no one else really was. Like, the girl who I moved out here with, she was, like, I don't want to call her drunk. She definitely wasn't drunk. She worked in the alcohol industry. Mm-hmm. So she was just much more comfortable drinking, and I was much more comfortable smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I have always loved the convenience of lighting something and like just like being able to go through it, right? So I've always been a joint smoker. I just like having it in my hand. I've gotten a ton of glass. People have given me, you know, like all sorts of cool, like even like you, what'd you mention? The
Dab Right or
Dab Right.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm assuming you get everything. Like, you're the dude at High Times. So we're saying this because John's the dude at High Times. He writes all the articles and shit. If you guys go to the website, he has a John Stone Cold 316 or 16 list or whatever, the where he's always doing the review. Stone he does a bunch Cold of reviews.
Yeah. So actually, wait. You want
316?
You want a funny story? You guys ever watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
I have. It's been a while though. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a character on that show called Carl Bertanadonaluski. He's their next door neighbor. He's like always wears a sweatpants. Like fucking pain in the
it's
ass.
Like a wife beater or some
yeah,
shit.
Okay, yeah. So they did a cross promotion years ago for the NFL with SportsCenter, where they do Carl Stone Cold Lock of the Week of the Century. And he'd come on and he'd make a football pick that week and like, you know, for like people placing bets. And it was always fucking hilarious. He'd always like, you know, just like trash talk like some team or something like that. And it was really funny. So when I was going to do the list, I was like, what am I going to call it? Like, and like the quarantine list was just fucking stupid. But like, again, the purpose of it was just like High Times events have always been marketing opportunities for brands, right? Like that's really been the biggest value prop of them. Get in front of an audience and like show them what you got. Because like historically, it was always the bud tender, right? Like the brand was never communicating with the actual end consumer besides like through social media or whatever. So when events shut down with COVID, it was like, okay, these brands are releasing all this shit, but they don't really have like a way to talk about them besides like, you know, doing, you know, articles or whatever. And there's just so many that come out every week that it was like, all right, because I get to try a lot of them, here's a way for me to talk about the ones that matter and like kind of get it a bunch of them out in like one clip. You know what I mean? As opposed to like, I mean, it takes a long time to write an article. You know what I mean? So like if I was going to write 10 articles a month for each of those things, as opposed to one article a month, it would take me, you know, fucking, I wouldn't get anything else done. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it became like this thing that people wanted to be in. You know what I mean? Like, which I wasn't expecting. I was just like, you know, kind of trying to shout out like, thanks for sending me weed. Like, this is the shit that I like the best. You know what I mean? And you see on the story, like I try and post everyone who sends me anything on my story just so that it's like, even if I don't like it, you get like a little pat on the back. Right. You know what I mean? But the cop list is like, all right, these are like the things that like I really think are the best. And like, yeah, I get to try a lot of weed. So, you know, I have a pretty good palate. But like, you know, I try and not think with like my ego. So like trying to believe that anyone else thinks that is like, you know, strange for me.
Yeah.
So once I started it, like it became like, okay, now everyone is sending me shit. That's how Jay-Z, that's how fucking Monogram got me. They're like, oh, would you do this for the cop list? You know what I mean?
Crazy.
I was like, yeah, fucking if you want to send me some weed, I will. And because of it, I've gotten to also create relationships with some of the guys who, like Pixie Sticks, who probably wouldn't have been so out there about like trying to promote themselves or tell their story or whatever. And it's awesome because, I mean, like, I know you guys work with Wizard Trees, for example. Mm-hmm. I got an interview coming with Wizard Trees. You see all these, and all these people seem like, you know, by the time you hear about them, they're already on, right? Like, it's not like whatever. And I feel like with Instagram culture and, like, you know, like the higher light reel that social media is, people kind of like, you know, like little kids growing up today just kind of like want to be influencers or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have to do anything. So, like, I think any opportunity to kind of inspire through other people's, you know, wins is like beneficial for humanity, just because, like, you know, we need more people understanding that, like, you know, this guy didn't just say, hey, I'm gonna start growing weed, and then his first thing of weed was, you know, the top of the mountain.
That's what me and this dude always talk about. It's like we watch so many podcasts and all this shit because it's like we want to see like how other people did it and like see like their experience. Like, you just can learn so much from other people like coming up, and like everybody goes through so many different things. It's like, for sure, that's like a huge thing that
especially what we're all doing here is like what we're all doing hasn't been done in this lane, and we're trying to pave it. So we don't know what the fuck we're doing. We need to watch other successful people and like study how they do it in their lanes. And cool, let's just take all of our inspirations and like put it into cannabis and marketing, media, you know, content, everything that we do, because we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Well, it comes back to community, right? Like that's like, and actually, so I just did an interview with Ted from Alien Labs, and there's a bunch of, you know, like stuff with where the name comes from and stuff like that, that kind of is all trying to symbolize attracting that like outsider community. You know what I mean? Like, but one of the things that I think stuck with me most about like his story is that like a lot of his come up was like because he had people around him who were also doing these things. You know what I mean? Like the shit didn't happen in silos. And like, you know, like I kind of felt this way about New York, and I don't necessarily feel the same way about it in LA, but like in New York, you're kind of always trying to impress your friends. You know what I mean? And like people are trying to do that in LA, but like it's more like
people trying to impress strangers in LA.
Yeah, but
not
like,
your friends.
It's more like you're trying to do everything in LA. Whereas like in New York, it was like about being different, about seeing, finding something new and original or whatever. Where like in LA, it's like, oh, you have the new Yeezys. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, did you go to like, you know, like this Hollywood party or something like that. And like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure that Hollywood party is cool, and I'm sure those Yeezys are super comfortable. You know what I mean? I'm a sneakerhead, so like I support you getting, you know, new sneakers or whatever. But like, I feel like where I come from, it was about being different so that you can have your own voice. You know what I mean? I feel like there's less of that out here because everyone's trying to
fit in instead of be different.
Exactly. Have the same voice.
And be cool and not step on toes and not, you know, and like be agreeable and be cool and go with the flow. And then you go to New York and, you know, the traditional thing, even, you know, since I was a kid, everybody's like, you go to New York and you like ask for directions and people are rude. It's like, I grew up and I went to New York to skate a bunch, and I'm like, oh, motherfuckers, if they miss this train, they're going to be late to work, dude. They don't got time for you. They don't owe you, and they don't owe you shit.
And
like,
that's the thing, but
also, you're a tourist.
But if you have someone there who you know or something like that, like that person's going to go out of their way to help you. You know what I mean? So like that's the same thing. So I think I started to say this with Ted, but like part of Ted's thing and like one of the things that he said that really stuck out is like NorCal shared its tech. You know what I mean? Like as people were advancing things, like they were showing each other because they wanted their community to be better. So like, you know, like we all wanted to be different in New York, but like if somebody asked me, said those are dope shoes, I tell them what the shoes are. You know what I mean? It's not like trying to like hide it. Like you can't, like you don't get the drip. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. I feel like that, especially with what you guys are doing, like just with the house, like obviously with the content and stuff like that. And I will say, just to kind of blow you guys for a second, I think what you've done to elevate the content game, the whole industry has benefited from, because, you know, a lot of people are just taking, you know, just bud shots of like live plants when it's, you know, easy to cheat, number one, but also just like just taking shots. You know what I mean? Like you could, anybody can get a light box, you know what I mean? But like, I remember you guys did like some bullet zooms through donuts and shit like that. And I was like, this is like, I feel like I'm in a donut world. You know what I mean? Like it was fucking money. So like, I think that like, that I know comes from like you guys working together and like building off of each other. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. I just think there's something special about that. And like when it's seen, it should be celebrated, because it seems like we're moving further and further from those kind of things and more into like the division of social media. And like, not that I want to shit talk the metaverse, but like, I think it sounds like a dystopian future of us all sitting behind computers in our individual houses and not doing these things together, you know?
Facts. That's like the opposite of the type of people that like we are. You know what I mean? Like me and Aaron, we're the kids that grew up skateboarding in the streets. Like the only time he's on a computer is when he's fucking grounded all the time, you know? Or like I was on a computer.
Which happens.
Because I was editing. Like, yeah. I was editing the skateboarding that I did during the day on my computer. Yeah. So it's like how we did all this shit is just by being out, like, the metaverse, like, okay, we're gonna have to learn this shit because we're gonna be fucking old and need to know how this shit works.
Yeah.
But like, by the way, if there's any kids that are out there that are like in their early 20s that know this shit, and you guys want to intern for High Rise and lead us through the fucking metaverse, fucking bang our line.
Web3 devs,
because we gonna need that. Show Uncle Aaron and Derek how to use the fucking metaverse. But yeah, that's gonna be a scary dystopian future for sure.
So but, I wanted to ask you, have you seen any like cannabis shit like successful, or like any dope cannabis NFT projects or any like crypto, like where do you see all that shit tying
in? Ashton Kutcher,
like, obviously it's gonna be something, you know, like, but I haven't seen anything like,
so actually my favorite thing that I've seen that's stoner related is in response to what Ashton Kutcher did, because that was just such an obvious cash
grab.
Wait,
what did he do?
Him and Mila Kunis did some stoner cats or something like that.
Oh yeah, that's how that actually, yeah
I was so excited when they started like floating videos around the internet of like them with Vitalik like talking, like explaining blockchain and stuff like that. I was so hyped. I was like, this is like, yes, like punk the internet, you know what I mean? Like, come on, we're for it. And then they released Stoner Cats and I was like, you fuckers. But these guys created this like seam of the pants moment to get out in front of them and created Blazed Cats, which is just like essentially the same thing as what those guys are doing, but like they made like bunked hats and things like that to like kind of like play off of who was involved in the other project, and released them first. And like those guys are constantly like actually evolving the tech, right? Like they're playing with like metadata refresh. So like for Halloween, all of the NFTs got Halloween costumes. Mm. So like you can refresh, so you can, like, your
update
shit.
Them in real time or some
exactly
shit, yeah.
Exactly. So like that kind of thing is like, again, you're part of this community, but like you're also like, okay, zooming out for a second, because we just, I don't think I said this about NFTs, and like the ones that I have purchased, the reason why I've purchased them is either A, because I thought like, oh, this might be something that pops because like the right people are talking about it, or B, because there's like some sort of function. So this one project, I'm a Degen, and it's basically like these alien avatars, right? It's a generative project, but what they did is they, to take it the next step, and generative project is like 10K project is like what Bored Ape did, right? Like random characteristics that your characters can get, and that's, you know, you get one of them or however many you want to buy. They took it to the next level, and instead of just having these JPEGs, they made avatars. So you can download your avatar and wear it in any of the metaverses, right? And that's, I think, Sonium Space, I think, was the first one, but I'm pretty sure it's compatible with all the different metaverses right now. That is smart to me because they're being like omni-channel, right? It doesn't matter where, what wins, because we have the 3D model of our guy, and all you got to do is upload it. You could wear it. You can be the same person in all these digital universes. That, to me, is probably going to be the way that these things evolve, right? Like something where like, okay, I'm buying a character, just like they sell cause outfits and fucking Fortnite.
It's like how you make a character on NBA and you fucking customize your shit and you go play ball or some shit, or no?
So not to spoil like something that I think should happen, but like I have a feeling that somebody's going to create one of these projects at some point that's going to be that, where it's like, here's like a Grand Theft Auto character design, you know what I mean? And then once you like mint your design, no one else can mint that exact variation, you know what I mean?
And then the games are going to adapt, right? And whatever video games are going to adapt, and like
they're already doing it,
right? So and collab with that,
like,
shit.
If you have Grand Theft Auto and you play it on your PC, you can download your Degen avatar and hack it into Grand Theft Auto. So people are going and creating, like, you know, like you have the people like film them shit themselves playing, making clips. They're filming clips of like their character in Grand Theft Auto riding the jetpacks or fucking, you know, blowing shit up, crashing planes and shit like that. And like, that's the kind of shit where I'm like, okay, these guys are doing something. You know what I mean? They're taking it to a next level. Once that identity, once it becomes, you can take it anywhere with you. Like that to me is going to be something that's super valuable. I got a bunch of those, so like obviously I'm pumping my own shit right now. So that kind of thing I think is really the future. And now a lot of these guys who are trying to take the cannabis space are not. Plenty of them are doing, oh, this is just like some strain bullshit, or here's some character that's a stoner or something like that. But some of them are trying to do things like, one of them I saw is like, you're going to mint your strain like lineage. And then this way because the blockchains are irrefutable and dated and all that, you'll know you're the first person who like bred runs or something like that. And obviously it's for new strains. It's not for things that are already out there. Mm-hmm. But like, that to me is like an interesting living ecosystem. You know, there's another guy who's creating something. I don't even want to say the name of it because I don't really trust it, but like already, yeah. Where you grow digital weed. Yep. I that
had a lot of talks with them,
bro.
Oh, our homies was showing me all of his shit at the Green Street soft opening. One of our homies was like going through somebody we hadn't seen in a long time. He's like, but he was like saying like, oh, this I got for free. It's worth like $300 and blah, 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 blah. And he's got this mail plant.
Things are only worth money if somebody's willing to pay for it.
Of course. Yeah.
So like that's the other thing about like the floor on NFTs, right? Like if nobody's buying a project and the only person who's choosing to sell, like who says it's 69 ETH, that floor is 69 ETH. But like, it's only 69 ETH if somebody will buy it for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it's the other thing, because it's cryptocurrency, like all the value is subjective and constantly moving. Right. Like for me, and the reason why, I mentioned before that I already had this 10 ETH is because I have, to me, those are worth $150, and great, somebody's going to sell them or something like that. But like, if I do 0.1, that's $15. You know what I mean? I can buy something for 0.1 ETH. You know what I mean? I will say that rationalizing things that way has been a problem because I've spent more money like actually in cash and in fiat on NFTs than like anything in real life. Like, I probably could have bought a car with the amount of money.
Equating to what ETH is now. Exactly. Currently. Exactly. Yeah.
But because it's 0.1, it's always...
Like, in your head. Yeah, yeah. In your head, it's 15 bucks. Yeah.
I mean, like, I know, like... that sounds so silly because, like, a half ETH or one ETH still was like, oh, no, I can't do this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody was like... And, you know, Bored Apes are worth fucking whatever. Joey hit me up when those were minting and was like, yo, get this. This is going to be fucking whatever. And I was like, it's fucking like $600. No. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, fuck that. Yeah. I'm not going to buy this JPEG for fucking $600. Now people are buying. Whatever. It's I don't want to talk about
it. So, and then it also fluctuates not only by the hype or of the art. Or NFT, but also the price of Ethereum.
Exactly.
Well, so either it could go up in price due to...
But so here's what's crazy, right? Like, so you remember, and this is kind of what's stuck in my head, and which is like, I've had this voice in the back of my head being like, remember the guy who spent all the fucking Bitcoin on pizza? You know what I mean? Like thinking like
Was it two pizzas was 50 million or something like that?
It was 50 Bitcoin or 24 Bitcoin per pizza or something like that. But like now in today's value, that's fucking crazy, right? Yeah. So like if you think about it, like if you bought something for one ETH today, you know what I mean? That's a $4,500 sale, let's say. And I don't think it's exactly that high, but whatever. $4,400. If that shit goes to 40,000 in 10 years... Then you spent $40,000 essentially on this thing, even though you didn't at that time. You know what I mean? So, like, again, it's all subjective and fucking fluctuating, and like, very much gambling.
The same shit. If you play, if you play stocks, it's the same shit. You sold. They should have waited.
But it's like I feel like the new shit too. It's like you buy the collections or whatever, and like, there's ones where it's like the one I got, like it hatched. So it's like you buy it and you don't even know what you get, and then on X day it hatches. And it pops out, and then you know if you got the rare one or the whatever the fuck. It's the same thing as opening baseball cards, and you might get the lucky one, fucking whatever.
Like. So I did the Alice in Wonderland one of those, where they did the eggs, and I specifically haven't hatched mine because I'm like, you know what? Maybe everyone's going to hatch theirs, and then you somebody get the will one. Be like, somebody will be like, I'll pay more because it's the one egg. You know what I mean? But like again, all of these things are like, maybe it'll work out sometime in the future. CryptoPunks, I think, came out in like 2018, and now they're like 2021. They had their day, right? So like a lot of these people are playing the long term anyway. But again, not saying it's a good investment. I just think that there's opportunity there, and anywhere where there's opportunity, it's worth exploring, you know, especially like
it's just the future too. Things. And it's just the future of the way things are going with blockchain and all that stuff. Like we need to pay attention.
I feel like and like you're in on Shopify, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, eventually, smart contracts will be built into Shopify. You know what I mean? Like, they're going
to be... never selling then.
It's going to be the kind of thing where, like, it's just... That's just, the new tech that everyone operates on. Just like everyone was operating on CDs for a while. You know what I mean? And then, like, there became... Then we didn't need CDs anymore because everyone had ways to stream. So, like, I don't know. Today... Even though we've seen all this shit all year and stuff like that, it's still so early for all of these things. And people say that all the time about crypto, which drives me crazy because like it's not early for Ethereum or Bitcoin. Like that shit's very expensive. The only people who are going to get rich off of it like right now are people who have tons of money already.
Yeah, it gets so much harder now to fucking 1,000x your shit. But 2 years ago, you know,
it's, well, but it's also, I mean, like if you're paying attention, if you're like... We talked about this with Doge. I don't know what I said earlier, but like... that's a classic pump and dump. You know what I mean? Like that shit's supposed to be illegal. Are you going to get in trouble down the line if you participate in something like that? Like that's the kind of thing that like I worry about. And like, I don't know where like, you know, everything's going to net out, but there's so much money to be made on these shit coins. Like half these,
I feel like specifically more so for the shit coins. Like, because, like those, like I even fucking fucked around with a couple of those and no, like, it was insane. Meme. It's literally like, it's just like, it was interesting when I really went into the back end and I could see like, oh, wow, I can see every sell, every buy. I can see how much, everything. And it's the same concept as selling merch. It's like you see the orders coming in real time. It's like you pay the influencer to promote it. They promote it, they sell it. You get the orders on the back end. Only difference is they're just manipulating it, running up all the money and pulling the rug out before whatever. Like,
so do you, did you ever use Coinbase Pro?
I don't know. Is that different than the regular? How is that different?
So it's basically like they give you more real-time information. You can like, it's how I learned like how to read candle graphs and things like that. And I did not know that. And I was investing in regular stocks, but I was just like, my whole thing with traditional stocks has always been, And actually, I got fucked buying, selling Tesla. So like, no, I'm just like, I'm never going to fucking sell anything that I have again. But I've always been like, it's better for me not to have cash. If I have cash, I spend on stupid things, right? So like, I started buying art initially for this, and then I started buying stocks so that it was like, all right, I'll put fucking a couple $100 into Apple because I know Apple will be around forever. Mm-hmm. Or not forever, but like if it Apple's going dying, yeah. It's not going anywhere, but also if it's dying, I will know about it. I'll have time to get out.
You we have very I mean? Similar perspective. It's like the same way I fucking look at it. Like my number one thing was like, shouldn't have sold. Like I had Tesla at like $50, dude. I had fucking Fiverr at like $15. I had like so many one like that would be 20, 30X that so I just sold. Like
when did you sell Tesla?
3 years ago,
but he rebought it and he's still Gucci.
But I also had it at 50 something.
Yeah. Well, before the split, I had in 2017.
So that's the thing. I sold at like 888 before the split. And I was like, this shit's definitely going down.
And
the
it split at like 900.
The world is fucking closing. Then it split at 900 and fucking, it was 5X for everybody. And like, whatever. It was shitty. Yeah. It was shitty. But again, you never know what you don't know until you fucking learn the lesson.
Exactly.
Right? So, like, I learned that the market always wins and shut the fuck up and let it go. When you need the money, then you pull it out, you know?
Yeah. Buy when there's blood in the streets.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Buy when there's blood in the streets. Right?
Buy when there's blood in the streets. And also, like, there's an old adage about, like, when your taxi driver and, like, you know, like the fucking shoe shiner start telling you about a stock to buy, like, that's time to sell.
That's when it's, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's some New York shit.
Yeah.
We didn't have taxis.
I mean, you guys got Ubers out here.
Now we do, yeah.
Well, yeah, but they're trying to get you to listen to their mixtape or hire them to fucking act or something.
Dude. So what brought you out here? Was it cannabis? Were you working in cannabis already?
No. My uncle lived in Venice when I was a kid. And he passed away when I was in seventh grade. But when I was really young, like this was like always like a vacation spot. And I remember being like, people live here. You know what I mean? Like this is life for people. So I always wanted to come out. But, you know, life happened. I honestly didn't really ever think I would leave New York. But California was always a dream because of legal weed and all that shit. And then I was dating a girl who I'd been with for long enough before gay marriage had passed, actually. So we were technically domestic partners. Thank you to the gays because that worked out for me. And her company was moving her out to LA. And so they offered to move me out as well. And I didn't have to pay a fucking thing and got to move to Los Angeles. So I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's go try it. And she did not like it and went back to New York. And I was not going back. So here we are.
And did you work for anybody before High Times in cannabis?
Yeah. So not in cannabis. So when I was in New York, I was throwing shows, and like that was like by the point time that I got here, I had been jaded to that. I had like been going out all the time, so like you know for so many years that it was like I wasn't even really going out anymore. I was doing like everything I had to do online, and then like oh here's a wiring account. You know what I mean? Which is like not the best way to do that business, but you know whatever. But so. I had come out to LA and I was like, fine, I could still do that for a little while and I'll figure out something, you know, cool to do out here, whatever. I ended up linking up with an agency through this weird series of events. But the guy who owned it, like, ended up becoming my mentor. Like, his name is Jason D'Amata. He runs Fabric Media. And I learned basically the ins and outs of the media business. But the role that I served for the company was more like, originally entertainment specialist, and then it became kind of like the hacker. And I don't mean hacker and like I was fucking hacking websites or anything like that. Like hacks, like figuring out like what the shortest path from point A to point B was. So things like this one, LinkedIn was like just starting to like pick up steam. And they had started doing LinkedIn originals where like you can write a piece on LinkedIn and like they'd publish it as an article. So we hacked together this plan where we would we'd ghost write a piece for our clients and then advertise it against their sales sheet. And so like anyone who they try to sell to, we would first get them to engage with a post about them saying something smart and then have them call. And it like ended up helping them close sales, like, you know, 60% increase, something like
crazy.
That. And yeah, it was dope, but it was like literally just like, all right, let's try this. And like, oh, Instagram, let's or fucking LinkedIn lets you target by C-suite, like fuck yeah, you know what I mean? We're only going for like, you know, the C-suite at fucking companies like with these names and, you know, whatever. And so like it ended up being, you know, really dope. And those kind of projects were great, but like what was really great for me was my network was just going apeshit, right? And like I started working, like I got to ghostwrite something for fucking Ice Cube when I worked there for like, you know, we had to do some quotes for something and like they were like, oh, just put something together and like we'll send it to him for approval. And like, so I did. And then like, you know, Ice Cube's like, yeah, it's fine, no problem. And like, you know, just so stupid things like that. So I like starting to see like the potential of LA, right? Like, because in New York, like, everyone's hustling, but like, it's also like there is a bit more territorial to the shit because everyone like kind of wants to be that guy. You know what I mean? Whereas like in LA, like, you're going to meet 10 of those guys before you actually figure out the one who it actually is, you know? So it was just, I don't know, it was really cool. And I ended up meeting the people who eventually led the acquisition of High Times. And so when they bought it, I had showed them just a ton of weed shit. They knew me as the weed guy already. We were doing, I mean, like, my old company was, I mean, not like, you know, I wasn't as out about it as I am now, but no one gave a shit if I smoked weed or, like, you know, smelled like weed or anything like that. We were based in Venice, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, there was way worse shit on the corner, let alone, like, you know, whatever. So when they did it, I was kind of, like, in their ears, like, you know, oh, you guys should be doing this, you guys should be doing that, and eventually became, like, a shut up and come do it, and so... I did, and it was a much different company then. Obviously, that was before retail, and events were still a really major thing for the company. And a lot has kind of, the economics of basically the entire business have shifted since COVID happened. But my job has been, I've been fortunate because my job has, I came to a place that, like, I mean, listen, I've always been savvy enough elsewhere, you know what I mean, that like I can afford to do the projects that I want to do. So when I came to High Times, it was really like, I love this thing, I grew up on this thing, and I don't want it to die, you know what I mean? So I have an opportunity to help it, right? So fortunately, my job has become more of acting like a brand steward through a lot of these things, right? And obviously, like, I don't agree with everything that, you know, that we've done. But as we moved into things like retail, which is like, you know, a big thing for a company that, you know, is supposed to, you know, sell the news, right, is now selling cannabis. But like, to me, that's a natural extension of our value prop.
Yeah, I think
right?
It makes all the sense.
We've always been telling people, we're supposed to know what the best weed is because right. We've always been telling people what the best weed is, right? So why wouldn't we just bring that weed to you? And yeah, so like, again, this is a brand that has existed long before I did. There's some of the coolest people in the world have interacted and done things with this brand. And like, listen, selfishly, like, the brand has afforded me, I mean, I'm here doing this, you know what I mean? Like, it's afforded me tons of opportunities that like I wouldn't have had otherwise, but also like I probably wouldn't have even known existed otherwise. Right. You know what I mean? So like, I have nothing but things to be grateful for. And also like, it's really fucking cool to be carrying the torch of something that, like, you know, like, a lot of really OG and, like, legendary people have held this torch. And now we're in a time where, like, the world is ready for it. So, like, it kind of just seems like you couldn't have a better view of everything. And, like, listen, I'll be honest. Like, I imagine one day I'm probably going to, like, start a cannabis company or work at a cannabis company or something like that. But like, I really love, and like, one of the things I loved about being at an agency was like being able to work with all sorts of different people. And we come back to community, like, it sucks if you got to just like worry about selling one fucking brand all the time. You know what I mean? And like, obviously, like, you guys, like, you know, you're always High Rise, right? And like I'm always High Times, but like, I get to hear stories from everyone. You know what I mean? I get to talk to people all the time who've been in jail or shot or like whatever for this plant. And like, there's a lot of people right now who are trying to capitalize on what's happening. And I fortunately can help the people who deserve to have their stories told to get more people to hear it. You know what I mean? So it's something that, like, you know, I, as frustrating as it is to have any job and like, you know, to fucking to work all the time, like, I don't remember the last time I took vacation. You know what I mean? But it's I do feel like I'm kind of like fighting the good fight all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, print is hard. You know, like, yeah. We fucking put out a magazine every month. Like, that's, dude, like, hundreds of pages.
Yeah, that's a
no. You know what I mean?
People don't realize, like, the turnaround. Shit happens.
I know we put you through the ringer with that one. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
a lot of this shit.
Our first conversation to this thing in my hand was less than 3 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? Like, how crazy. From him being like, yeah, and then getting into the emails with Jamie and Steven, and then me going to shoot it was, like, to print 3 weeks. Like, So crazy.
It's the thing that, like, I think a lot of people forget too is, like, we don't have a big team. You know what I mean? It's not like there's, like, fucking, like, one person in the office working on each issue all year or something like that, or even thinking about, like, more than three or four issues now. Like, we create, like, this is what the year is going to look like. You know, things move and shift around. Like, for example, the High Times 100 issue is coming back because we're going to be doing the High Times 100 event again. But that's tied to the event. So, like, right now I have it slated for early this upcoming year. It might get pushed back a little bit given how, you know, the world is and how crazy things are right now. But, you know, who knows? It might not be.
That's top 100 brands or top 100 people or something? What is it?
It's 100. So it's not ranked. So it's 100 honorees of, like, the leaders of the cannabis industry. So there's always, like, some, you know, celebrities and ballers on it. There's always some.
I think I remember seeing that or getting an issue of that, actually. Like, I think we had one.
Well, so it's not brands. It's just, like, in general.
I mean, it is brands. I mean, listen, most of the reason that most of these people are on it is because they're the CEO or founder.
Yeah, like Al Harrington or something like that.
Al Harrington is almost definitely going to be on it.
He's going to be on there for sure.
Seth Rogen will almost definitely be on it.
I see.
You know, and listen, also, like, you know, people like Ted from Alien Labs or fucking, you know, Burner from Cookies. Facts, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, these are the people that not only are most visible, but are, like, pulling all the strings and making things happen. Right. And honestly, like, obviously you guys know this, like, a lot of the stuff, especially in this industry, is not only incestual, but, like, similar to what I said about LA, there's a lot of people who say they're doing things. And then, like, once you, like, dig a little deeper, there's, like, really, like, two or three guys that are really doing it for everybody. Right. You know what I mean? So, like, making sure those guys get their day is, like, what that's really about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's cool, too, because, like, I mean, listen, part of the reason why, like, we talked about Clubhouse. Part of the reason why Clubhouse, I think, was so important was because it brought a lot of people together who are not usually in the same room together.
100%. You know what I mean?
And allowed everyone to hear that conversation. High Times 100 is that in real life. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's Hall of Flowers is another great example of this. I mean, I know you guys were there. The people that come out for that event is, like, a lot of people who you don't see anywhere else. Right. You know what I mean? They're working all the other time. High Times 100 is definitely that. And it's also, like, the night when, like, everyone kind of lets their hair down a little bit. So, like, even, like, you know, at Emerald Cup and stuff like that, like, people party, but it's, like, you know, not, like, whatever. Like, this is, like, I don't want to trash talk any event, but, like, let's say, like, a Vegas after party is kind of like what High Times 100 is, but at a club in LA.
Yeah. With all the right people.
With all the right people, a lot of the best weed in the world. And, like, you know, like, I will say one thing that's funny is, like, the identity crisis of cannabis and, like, how the industry has changed. Like, I mean, you guys have been around for a while. So, like, even 5 years ago, like, TNA really sold shit back in the day.
420
and, like,
nurses.
420 nurses. But even, like, do you guys ever come to the cannabis cups and, like, you know, like,
so we did I think two or three cannabis cups
at
for
Nosh?
Merch. We did it at
San Francisco,
the Cow Palace or whatever it's called. Okay. And then NAS. Yeah.
Okay.
San Bernardino, yeah.
Okay. So NAS Center, I don't want to, it's because it sounds like I'm shit talking them, but, like, there was a brand that came to NAS Center one time and had a multi-story tent, which, like, I didn't even realize you could do that, right? Yeah. But, like, you went up the back of their tent, and on the third story there was a strip club that, like,
I think I remember that kind of.
Not only was it, like, fucking hot as hell in there, the whole place was so sweaty that there were bills sticking everywhere.
Oh my god,
it was,
god,
like,
that's hilarious.
It was the trappiest fucking thing ever. But
sounds like,
a
DJ breadwinner set.
Minus a few hot dog buns.
The glizzy buns. But yeah, like, there, like, that was something that was, like, everywhere, right? And, like, now, like, I mean, okay, so we do also do the Female 50. And, like, the Female 50 is, like, literally celebrating the fact that, like, this is an industry that over-indexes in terms of female leadership. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we're celebrating a female plant. We're celebrating, like, everything about cannabis is female. You know what I mean? But it became a boys' club. And I think that that's also because, like, the trappers. And, like, listen, I've met plenty of women who have been in the game for a long time. Male trappers, there's much more bravado and like doing it because like they want to be like a gangster.
There's the ego. There's like a male ego behind it.
Whereas like the women are feeding their families, dog.
It's Griselda Blanco shit. It's exactly. Like the, it's like, yo, I'm trapping, but I got these dudes trapping for me.
Exactly.
Because I'm the queen pen and you know, and like, yeah.
Exactly.
The dudes want to floss paid in full. The dudes want to drive around in the crazy whip. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So like it's, you know, I think that like, the same way that the industry is moving to that, like we all also, like a lot of us got in because they were outlaws, right? Or because they like they had edge, because it was something that was like no taxes, right? Now we all got to wear suits and like fucking pay attention to the fucking new like compliance laws. And
break
fucking,
the stigma.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Exactly. Which like, listen, I will say one of like I think my favorite things that Mad Men ever did was that New Normal campaign, because like I don't think it did anything to help them, but like it was great to see people smoking weed all over LA. Yeah, you know right? what yeah. I mean? Like, and like, oh, here's a doctor smoking weed. Here's like whatever, like perfect. You know what I mean?
For
thank
their
you.
Demographic that they're trying to reel people in, you know?
Exactly. Yeah,
thank you. And then you guys can go get some good weed.
Exactly. Yeah, find the right place to buy it. Yeah, I don't want to talk shit about any brands. I said I wasn't going to do that.
No, we love Mad Men.
No, I'm sure. Everyone does, right? But also, did you guys see the fucking the Coastal news?
No.
So, okay, parent company bought Coastal for $16 million.
Wait, what's Coastal?
The zombie of fucking
Mad Men and Lowell and all that stuff.
Those guys got pushed out. They went and started Coastal, and then Coastal got acquired for $16 million. Huh. I would be surprised if Mad Men... Never mind, I don't want to say this.
Oh, man. All right, so what's like the future of the Cup? Are you guys are trying to bring that back? Is it all because of COVID or...
So that's... Well, so you guys know you're helping us with the Cup nowadays.
Well, yeah, you guys have like the digital virtual.
Yeah, so that's listen, I said this before, but like being like a brand steward, right, and trying to figure out like how High Times evolves into this new thing. One of those examples has been People's Choice Cup. That was just so that everyone understands how it works. The way the Cannabis Cup used to work is it was just like hand-selected judges. There were like 10 to 15 judges per category. They each got a kit per category. And then we're like, hey, like this is, you know, choose the best. There's five categories or five ranking things. Each has like 1 through 5. And then you have an area to like put in some notes. When events shut down, the end of the Cannabis Cup always had the festival where we would announce all the winners. Now that the events shut down, we wanted a way to keep selling or keep having these events or keep doing the Cannabis Cup without necessarily having the event, right? And so that became, okay, well, if we pivot and instead of doing like weed snobs choosing all the winners and make it like real consumers, we can put this in dispensaries and make it something that's a retail item that all of these brands we can get together, we'll coordinate the kits and then give them out. And it's something that like... actually provides a real market read as opposed to like this is like the weed snob read, which like listen, like I joke about this all the time, and like obviously snob is not the nicest thing to call people. I call myself a weed snob, so I hope no one out there listening thinks that like finds that offensive, but we talk about inside baseball a lot, you know what I mean? Like I complain that something that releases is also gelato, and like the end consumer has no fucking idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like trying to keep that in mind and like in perspective as we think about who the winners are or what the future of this competition is, because like again, like I know who I think the best people in the Cup mm-hmm. are every time, and like they don't always win, you know what I mean? And like that's I don't have you know, an axe that knows better than everyone, you know what I mean? But like, also like these are when we do it this way, it's a real, the people who are actually going out and buying the weed.
It's the consumer award exactly, for sure.
Are crowning it.
I think that's a great concept, honestly. Yeah.
I think it's, well, that's the point is that like, I don't think that's ever going away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's it. Not only is it a great, like revenue opportunity for the brand, but it's just something that like engages people.
You just include them. And yeah, it's like, yeah.
Exactly. So like, actually we talk about like community, right? But like I've been talking to brands, and like you know about 710's List.
So kind of. How does that work exactly?
It's their direct consumer option. So basically like they have like a fan club where every time they have a new drop of stuff that's coming out, it's really, really dope if you like their products. Anytime they have a new drop of stuff that's coming out, they offer it to their fans first. So it's like, hey, this is all of our new hash. What do you guys want? And like most of the stuff sells out before it even gets to retail. which is dope. Like, they dropped their new Percy pods, their solventless pods. And, like, that, like, you basically only get it on the list because they're so fucking hot.
You know, and how do you get on the list? Do you just buy shit or sign up or what?
You got to sign up. I know there's a waiting list for it and stuff like that. Like, if you want to get in, let me know. I'll take care of you.
Cut the line.
But there's, yeah, like, I mean, there's tons of people waiting who, like, try and get in. But they roll it out by areas at a time, right? So it's been in L.A. for a while. I know it's in NorCal. But what's great about it is, like, now you get to, like, engage your consumer in a whole different way, right? Like, and you also can cut out anyone else working with them. You know what I mean? Not necessarily working with them. You still need, you know, someone who's going to deliver the shit, whatever. But, like, you can control that whole experience. When we talk about, like, marketing funnels, right? Like, making sure, like, the best way to ensure a conversion is to control the whole process, right? And so, like, I think a lot of people, zooming out a little bit, a lot of people look at things like Instagram or Facebook as, like, their conversion tool or as their audience holder, right? And, like, really, like, those are walled gardens, right? Like, we are renting audiences in those, you know, in those places.
To get shut down, your page gets deleted, like, where's your people's?
Exactly. So what it really is the top of the funnel, right? The awareness generator. So, like, every brand, in my opinion, should be doing everything they can to pull people off into some other ecosystem. This is probably the least intensive. It's like essentially an email list, right? But, like, now you get to turn all of the people who, like, love your shit and basically say, you don't ever have to smoke anything else. We'll get you the best shit that you can have. You know what I mean? And what do you think that does to your fans? Like,
die hard.
Yeah, they're not just fans. They're like, these fucking guys make sure I'm fucking laced up. I love 710.
And then they feel special because they're getting this exclusive shit. I'm on the list.
Yeah, you're on the list. Exactly. Like, the branding on it was smart too. Yeah. Like, that's key. And I think, listen, there's all sorts of other potential that this opens up, right? Like, once brands really start playing with this and, like, start bringing kids into, like, pheno hunts or, like, you know, just, I mean, the selection process, I guess, pheno hunts. There's all sorts of ways to turn people not just from consumers, but into walking billboards for you. The same way everyone wants everyone to wear their shirt because they think, like, that's going to get other people to smoke their weed. Like, what's going to do more than that is getting people actually talking to their friends about your shit. And if they help you decide what's going to go in your jar, they're going to tell every fucking person that they know that they helped you with that decision. You know what I mean? Thanks. And, like, what better, like, again, what everyone's trying to do with influencers, right, is, like, create spokespeople. But you know how it is with most of these kids. Like, they just, like, they want to post it. They want to be a billboard. They don't want to be a fucking, like, a salesman. This is generating salesmen. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think that's super fucking interesting and probably going to be something that we see just continue to evolve and more brands do it. I actually think that, like, retailers are going to need to figure out new ways to compete with that space, because, like, even, like, Amuse has a white label platform now, right? You know, like, so that anybody can go direct to consumer through their delivery service. Some brands, like, if you look at, like, what Jay-Z did with Monogram, like, I don't, and I know that they're sold in Caliva Place or whatever, but I think their long-term goal is they're not going to need to sell anywhere besides their mailing list, right? They're going to create a funnel, or they're
going
to create a well.
That's where it's all going, yeah.
Exactly. Just they're going to have a well of people who every time they want to smoke, they want to spend $150 on a joint. And, like, the same way with Ace of Spades, right? The people who buy Ace of Spades are not champagne connoisseurs. They're fucking status whores. Mm-hmm. So, like, let anybody who wants to get that fucking Jay-Z weed pay for it, and then they're in the ecosystem. Then they don't need to exist anywhere else. They're just, like, they're a fucking I don't know what the fuck it's called, but, like, a fully included ecosystem.
Yeah, and then they can, like, market their other brands to them because they have all their info and data and shit like that.
Exactly. And that's also, like, again, then you really have an audience, right? Because, like, that's the other thing. If you just have followers, like, what's going to happen when you lose your account?
So funny. It just goes back to email lists. It just goes back to 10 years ago, back to email lists.
It's like,
you know,
pull the fucking people off of fucking social, get them real life, get them on email, get them on text, get them on other platforms where it's more secure and safe and longstanding. And it's not like,
well, let's talk about
removed
that
in 1 second, you know, like,
I think that's the bigger thing. And that's why I think the metaverse is so interesting to people like Facebook or whatever, is because what's next? Like, we're watching Instagram and Facebook collapse on itself, right? Like, even if you're being legal, you can't get the same kind of engagement. But this happened, like, you fucking probably remember this. Like, I was throwing events on Facebook in, like, the early, like, 2007.
Same thing happened to Facebook. Same exact fucking thing.
Yeah, eventually they, once you, you build an audience, eventually, like, cut us in. Well, we can't cut them in because they can't take our money right now, right? But, like, it's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. It's their whole fucking fighting misinformation campaign. And, like, how are we going to stop, like, the ultra-right or ultra-left from spreading misinformation? How are we going to stop the COVID anti-vaxxers and deniers and shit like that? And, like, we are just getting roped in because, like, we're also, like, the drugs and malicious content guys. You know what I mean? But I think it's a sign of, like a bigger, like, social's just fucking us up, man. Like, we, like, as brands, but also as creatives, as individuals, like, I think that, like, it's on us to figure out, and obviously we're not developers, or it's not like we're going to build a new Facebook or something like that, but what can we do that creates that kind of community or creates that kind of, like, the biggest problem is returning, right? And, like, the reason why people always come back to Facebook, always come back to Instagram or whatever, is the dopamine hits they get from the engagement and stuff like that. What is going to give that to consumers in a different environment? Because, like, yes, going back to email lists is fucking stupid. Who's reading half that shit anymore, right? It just happens to be one of the most effective things. And, like, actually, I will say, just, like, historically, because, like, when I was running marketing campaigns and shit like that back in New York and for these events, like, the email list was one thing that people always wanted to buy. Always wanted to buy and always paid for. You know what I mean? Not like they would try and lowball us on flyers and be like, yo, like, the email is, yeah, we'll pay $1,500 to hit your 30,000 followers. Yeah. Like, okay, we'll do that right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. You want to do that? Perfect. So, you know, again, I don't think that necessarily regressing to email is going to be the savior of any of us. And text threads, I mean, how annoying is it how many people, like, now try and send you marketing messages through text? But, like, where we're at is not it. And it's definitely not the future. I hope the future is not us building little fucking individual worlds in, you know, in some digital landscape.
Completely separating everybody.
It'll completely separate everybody, but it's also like, it'll completely separate everybody, but it also breaks down a lot of, like, the things that we need to survive. Like, if you look at, like, where things were with social, and I think the reason Clubhouse had its moment, it did, was because you could, like, the inflection and being able to hear everybody was, like, a welcome change from, like, the left versus right shit that was all over social and QAnon and all that shit. And everyone was just, like, fighting each other at the drop of a hat because,
yeah, it's,
like,
a lot different talking to someone than text or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
It's personal connection that we're all missing because of COVID and because of the lack of that connection with Twitter and Instagram and all this shit.
Exactly.
So it's why people love Twitch. That's why people love YouTube. They love seeing somebody just vlogging, living their daily life. Like, my girlfriend's just getting into, like, watching these chicks in Japan just, like, live their daily life, like, not even with, like, narration and shit.
Have you seen mukbang videos?
Is that what that?
That's
what
the
is
food, right?
Yeah,
the reviews or something
where they eat, like, fucking just crazy amounts.
Oh, I've
food.
Heard of this shit. Yeah, I haven't watched it. It sounds insane.
Honestly, like, I felt this way, like, 10 years ago, and actually, I didn't. Not 10 years ago, 5 years ago. But when Vine was happening and I, like, discovered, like, that Unbox Therapy kid and he was making, like, $20,000
a video. The little kid or whatever?
No.
Lewis from Unbox Therapy. He was on Rogan a bunch.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You're thinking of Ryan's toy review, which is, like, the most
the little
paid
kid.
YouTuber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is okay, also, just
YouTube
time out.
Changed their shit because of that kid, right?
Well, hold on.
Didn't they cut all, they made everything children and shit because of that kid?
Can we talk about how brilliant it was of that parent to say, I'm going to make every... your whole existence, the expense that you are, into an asset. Everyone's gonna pay for everything for you. You're gonna get every toy ever, and I'm not gonna have to fucking pay a dime.
And I'm never having to work again either.
Yeah, right. that's amazing to me. But, like, also, like, everyone just wants a friend. You know what
that's
I mean?
It,
like,
community. Yeah. Everybody just wants to be part of some shit. That's what it comes
to be
down
part
to.
Of some shit, but also, like, it's. I think this is we're gonna get super deep for a second. The plight of being a human, right? And, like, comes back to, like, we all will only see things from our own perspective. So, like, our soul, like, the reason why I think we marry people and all that shit is, like, because our soul just wants to feel like it's, like, someone else gets it. You know what I mean? And with these things, when people can watch a video, especially when it's something that's so subjective, like subjectional, you know what I mean? Or subjective? Yeah. we're talking about like one specific, like, okay, we're reviewing this movie or something like that, especially if it's someone who you know what their review is going to be. Like, it's the same reason people like rewatch shows, right? Because they know what's going to happen and it's comforting to them, right? So like when you watch somebody and they tell you your opinion of something, like, that's like super validating, right? But it's also, it does these fucked up things in your head where like starts to get you to believe. It's why psychographic targeting works, right? And like they can say things like, oh, like, can you believe that they stop people at the border? And like, isn't this inhumane and stuff like that? And then like they keep going and keep going and keep going. And eventually they're talking to you about how like the fucking Hollywood is trying to kidnap your children and whatever. But because you're already so bought in, you believe this person, whatever. Like, it's in our nature to want to connect and want to see ourselves in other things, right? And like, pulling back to NFTs and the community and shit that we talked about, like that at a base level, like it's almost like race, you know what I mean? Like, we're all apes now, you know what I mean? Or we're all this fucking thing that we can all see that we're the same fucking thing, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be something that comes that allows us to do that together. But also, like, the dangerous part about all these things is that because the internet gives everyone a voice, like, people can say whatever and then people start to believe it, and then we get down the QAnon. Like, did you guys watch the HBO special on it?
No, but I really want to and I need to.
Bro, it's, you definitely should. The guys who started QAnon are like, I don't want to talk shit about like people's appearance or whatever, but like,
they live in their mom's basement and they're like 42.
No, one of them is super rich, one of them is his kid, and one of them is like this weird developer guy that they got, and like, they all look like they would do some weird shit like this stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, definitely, like, they're trying to be not part of society.
Yeah.
Society, even in their real life. Like, one dude is like super, like, super into anime and like fucking swords and stuff like that. Another dude, like, you could tell is like, has some like weird, like, he talks about it a little bit in one of the episodes, but like just some promiscuities, and like he lives in the Philippines. It's like, I wonder what exactly those promiscuities are, you know? But again, they were running this website 8chan, which is like, you know, a notoriously heinous website. And they got a bunch of people by doing that like psychographic shit, right? Like by like tying into like little things that like, what's that? Correlation does not equal causation, right? But what they would do is they would go and they would take shoestring a lot of things together to be like, oh, like Donald Trump did this, at posted this at 10/26 because he wanted to signify this is going to happen on the 26th of October.
Oh, yeah. It's the classic. Yeah. The classic stuff.
It's just, it's so like, yeah, like again, I started down a rabbit hole. You should definitely watch
that. I want to go down that rabbit hole.
But I don't know what the solution is, but I feel like all of the things that we have today are too prone to bad actors taking over and, I don't want to say promoting violence or anything like that, but just like, until we get to a place or a platform where the policing doesn't need to happen because people are able to see through the bullshit, like, we are shit as cannabis community is at risk because we're just going to stay on that fringe level of acceptance.
Yeah.
The other thing that we got to remember is we're never going to be safe for kids. And like, all of these platforms
are made for teenagers, and
not only made for teenagers, but they're focused on their longevity. Right. So like getting the youngest people hooked is the most important thing for them, 'cause they have the longest life ahead of them. You know, we got maybe 20, 30 more years and then we're fucked.
Like,
you know,
we're like, might adapt to the next platform. Exactly. Well, maybe we might die on Instagram. Are you guys on
TikTok? I already feel slow. Like, yeah. It's like I'm falling behind on all
we're
this
not,
shit.
We don't
like,
fuck TikTok, with it 'cause we can't barely figure out. Shit.
Like,
yeah.
Even like,
well,
I don't
know. TikTok, bro, like, that shit is crack. Like, the way that okay, so
didn't that just take over to YouTube technically as number one or no?
The most viewed, the most watch time.
That wouldn't surprise me because, like, they also, they're short loops, right? So, like, I think Vine probably rivaled YouTube at the time too because it was the 6 second things, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's also like, look at how this shit has changed just over the last 5 years, right? Like, do you guys remember Vine? Like, that was like
six Vine was
seconds.
Just a fucking hiccup. It was just like here for like a minute and it was out.
It was a hiccup. I mean, they got acquired for a shit ton of money, but you know, it was quick in, quick out, right? But that was like, I think the start of like the, how can we shorten your attention as much as possible?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like TikTok, not only like hooks kids, like again, like the algorithm is like crack. It's literally designed to like make it so you are stuck on site, because like anytime you're like, okay, I think I'm bored of this, you know what I mean? Like there's the next one is even more ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And like the worst part, the crazier part about it is the feed algorithm for when you first post. Your first posts on that platform, no matter how invisible you are,
it cracks. It gets like 40,000 views. Exactly. Or something like that.
People are going to see that shit, and you are going to get addicted to that high, and you are going to come back and want it again. It's going to trickle and trickle and trickle down. And
that's
just
what
like
we've been told.
Heroin, you're going to want to fucking chase that dragon.
And we've been told, like, you know, we've gotten tips from some of our homies that kill it. They're like, if you want to get on there, just start an account. And if your first four posts don't crack, delete it and start another account, because it's meant to have your shit crack in the first four posts. So just if you don't get a couple hundred thousand views, and delete it and just restart it. But for us, we've tried it. We do cannabis stuff, but it's like a majority of the stuff we do is with the plant and with the flower, and you can't post anything. And it's like we already have so much shit going on that like we don't have time to post the skits that have to do with cannabis that don't show any of this stuff. So like we just really haven't. We have the account so nobody takes our name, but we're not like.
Well, you don't want that traffic anyway.
And we have plenty of shit to do. Yeah, so. It's like our thing is balancing like the brand work we do at the agency with creating our high-rise content. And you know, there's so much brand work that we have to like pick and choose what we want to do with high-rise. And it's like, you know, we got the YouTube, we got the IGs. Let's just like run that shit up for now.
We're also in this world now where everyone's engagement chasing that. Like, I think we've lost the art of like curating your feed. You know what I mean? And like making sure that this looks like a portfolio for your business, as opposed to like just some bullshit memes of whatever's funny right now, so that kids will like your posts.
That's what we tell our clients. Yeah. We're like, well, now it doesn't matter anymore. That's what we told our clients before the shadow ban. Like, do you want your feed to look professional, or do you want to get views and followers? Because you can't do both. Because you could post the dope nug shots and the flat lays and make your shit look really nice, but the dope sunset photo of someone smoking silhouette is not going to get more views than somebody putting five joints in their mouth and smoking it with their iPhone, you know? So it's like, we'd always tell our clients that same shit. Do you want professional, or do you want the hijinks or the engaging, the memes or whatever. And well, nowadays we just gave up, and we're like, with the shadow ban, like we're posting whatever, we're doing all this shit. We know we're not going to get any views. We're going to do this like Halloween trailer that was like super fucking dope of Kimmy killing all of us.
That was
we know hilarious. It's like going to come out. Like, we're just doing it to see if we can do it. And it's fun. Yeah. And it's only going to get 1500 views, but our homies are going to see it. It's going to get 50 comments with 1500 views. And, you know, you can tell like we have a community through our engagement. It's like, we know our views are going to suck, but like, we don't do it. Like you said, we don't do it for the views. We're doing it because we love creating, and we want to put it out to the people that hopefully can see it.
But in other industries, they would call that a loss leader, right? Because like, that's marketing for your shit. You lost money producing it, right? But then you made off of the actual event. So like, there's that. But also like, I know it's easy for people to chase the like, oh, we need to do whatever's hot right now so that we can say, look at TikTok, right? Like the whole world will do whatever dance is popular right now because they want to run after whoever's being popular. That world is always going to exist. There's always going to be the Me Toos. There's always going to be like the look at me's, you know what I mean? But like, nobody, look at half these influencers, right? Like, nobody stands out from just doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like, what makes you attractive, what makes people want to work with you, what makes your brand matter is that you do good work. So like, yeah, you can just be out there and doing like farming to try and like, you know, have a million followers or whatever. But if those followers aren't buying anything, if those followers aren't trans, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's all just vanity bullshit. Mm. And like, the world has been sucked so far into vanity bullshit as opposed to shit that actually matters. I was having this conversation with someone the other day. Remember when the riots happened and like no one was fucking hitting banks. They were fucking like robbing Bear Bricks and shit like that.
Yeah, it was all like the Shoe Palace and anybody like WSS, like anybody who had sneakers or streetwear shit, it was fucking hit.
And like, don't get me wrong, like I get that's what the kids would have bought with the money anyway. You know what I mean? But it's also like,
you can flex on IG that you just got some J's.
Exactly. Like, so that you got something that's way too expensive that like you shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And like, instead of doing whatever, maybe you flipped it. You know what I mean? Maybe you fucking sold it on Grailed or something like that. In that case, okay. You know,
happy little hustle.
Good for you. Good hustle. But you know, like, I just, it really made me worry about like the state of the world, that like people don't even know what they need to survive anymore. You know what I mean? Or like, I mean, obviously, listen, most of those people are opportunists to begin with.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those things that like, you know.
Those are the people talking shit on Twitter and Instagram well, with private profiles.
I will say I am surprised more of the cannabis community hasn't come to Twitter. Like, Twitter does not give a fuck, bro. Twitter is like...
You can do anything on that. I mean, you can do a lot more.
Bro, I mean, they were welcoming to the sex work community. Mm-hmm. They are welcoming to the trap community. They've been welcoming to fucking, like, the violent community. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they definitely kicked off, like, you know, the white supremacists and people were, like, you know, like, doing racist shit, right, or whatever. I will also say, like, there's a much more diverse presence, it feels like, mm-hmm, on Twitter. And I don't just mean that in, like, terms of, like people of color within the United States. I mean, like, world presence. And like, mm-hmm, maybe that's because like you just, I'm sure there are on Instagram and shit like that, but like you just don't see like a lot of posts that are happening in Asia or in Europe and shit like that on Instagram. That shit circulates on Twitter, right? So like there's a lot of opportunity to like have actually say things, but also like it's not meant to be a photo sharing app.
Yeah.
So it's not like a portfolio, right? But if you use your Instagram as a portfolio and then you use Twitter as your place to actually communicate shit and kind of play back and forth between the two, like that to me is like probably the best you can do right now. You know what I mean? Because then you could communicate all your sales shit, all the fun things that you want to say that Instagram won't let you, but you have your professional place that you can post back to and reference, and everyone, when they're looking for your page on Instagram and see whatever, you have just a really polished, you know.
And then repost your Twitter posts on IG and then let those be, because those are super shareable. Like if you have a great Twitter post and you post it on IG, like those are some of the most viral things.
Totally. So. And it also doesn't have to be a meme. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's the other thing. Like I feel like a lot of these guys, like they're all racing after just like bullshit jokes or something like that. Like tweets that actually say something like also do well. You know what I mean? But like if you did that same thing and just put it in a caption on your Instagram, it's not going to get the same kind of attention.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So like, you guys know this, like hacking, like leveraging all the different tools you have in the kit is like the actually, and you guys might've done this like in the heyday, but do you know, like, did you ever know, like do like post and like delete it just to see?
Oh yeah. All the time. Trajectory? Yeah.
Word. So like
we used to be able to tell in the first 30 seconds to 1 minute if it was going to crack or not.
Totally.
Like when the, remember like, yeah, like we had it down to like views, months where it's like I would post it like 10:30 to 10:45 a.m. like same time every morning. Like sometimes it just fucking crack, and then like you could literally tell in 30 seconds, like, yep, if you just know what to look for. Like then it took away all our views, and
so now we're here. There was a company that does that, like that licenses videos, and I was talking to one of the guys who runs it fucking years ago, and he was telling me that like basically like within a minute, like you know if something's gonna hit or whatever, and like it doesn't, you, if you want the content there, you leave it. But most of the shit, you just delete because the time might strike later, mm-hmm, right? So a lot of this shit is like, if you're just going out there and posting, you know what I mean? Like, the cards are already stacked against you because so many people are trying to fucking game the system and everyone's got a pod and shit like that, you know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I've found that on Twitter, even if I say something and initially falls on deaf ears, it might be a day or two later, and then all of a sudden, everyone fucking gets it. You know what I mean? And it's
a different, completely different algorithm.
Yeah. And it's like it's also like Facebook will like hit me up now because I don't use Facebook very much anymore, and they're like, "Oh, this person."
You mean Meta?
Did a post? Yeah, Meta.
Like, well, you'll get emails. And you'll be like,
they keep calling it Facebook, but Meta is like the owner of Facebook now.
Oh, so they started a new company technically.
So it's the parent company. So I think the FB like stock will change to Meta, but like it's like Alphabet.
But that Facebook app will still be Facebook. And then Meta will be a completely
Instagram
virtual.
Instagram will still be WhatsApp, all that. Yeah. And then they'll probably put out Meta, which is going to be, you know, like build your own universe, right, or whatever, mm-hmm, that fucking bull. Actually, did you see the meme of him doing the presentation at like alongside the fucking black, what the fuck is it? It's not Blacklist.
Blacklist Facebook collab.
Blacklist. The Black Mirror
Facelist.
Oh, no, I didn't see. Oh, no, I didn't
see
that one.
Of the first Black Mirror episodes is like a guy like having to like exercise for currency, and he just sees his avatar, and it's like basically the same fucking image as like Zuckerberg fucking introducing Metaverse.
Dude, we're all
fucked.
Trip.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're
what
all
happens.
Fucked. All right, we gotta take this shit out of here. It's done like an hour and a half. But where can the people find you, dude? Where can the people go and check out your giveaways?
check out my giveaways. All right, so I am John Capetta on pretty much all social media at JonCapetta. Two P's, two T's. No one ever gets it right. Don't feel bad. But yeah, honestly, Twitter is where most of my shit goes. I only use stories on Instagram. I keep debating like I should go and just delete all the old posts I have, so like it's not like, because people like go and they like see like they see me out and they're like, this is not you, you know what I mean? It's yeah. Like yeah, it's a picture of me and my brother and fucking 7 years ago.
That's
you know
so
what I mean?
Funny.
But
yeah, and then yeah. Your articles on High Times website,
hightimes.com. I put out a cop list every month. I am probably going to rebrand it at the end of the year just because we're not in quarantine anymore, but it'll still definitely be the cop of the century of the week. and yeah. I mean, keep an eye on High Times. We put out a magazine every month. We work very hard on it. You'll see these guys work from time to time for sure. I'm trying to get them to send me more. So, you know, we'll see what happens. our .com is always fucking kicking. So you ever need some cool information about weed or just someone to help you sort through the bullshit, that's what we pride ourselves on.
Or NFT consulting. Also. Or NFT all right, man. Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man.
Thank
it's always
you
nice
having,
having
me.
You. Yeah, fuck yeah.
I feel like I definitely rambled a lot, but I am very, I feel very honored to have been here. So thank you.
No, we love it, man. Appreciate all the info. All right, guys, till next podcast, keep pushing, keep rising. We out.
Now we could really smoke, right?